This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Good morning. Alongside Dave Manuk and Ezra Ginsberg, my name is Drew Mandel. We're going to talk about the Winnipeg Jets and their first round playoff series versus the Minnesota Wild, I promise. But we have to begin this morning with the tragedy that has occurred in Saskatchewan. Last night, the Humboldt Broncos junior hockey team was involved in a horrific bus crash with a semi-trailer en route to their game versus the Nipawin Hawks. Immediately, reports indicated that it was a serious incident. Overnight, the scope of the tragedy became clear as the RCMP announced that the worst fears have been affirmed. 28 players and coaches on the bus, 14 have tragically lost their lives, with another 14 injured, three being listed in critical condition. The game of hockey spans the globe, but its lifeblood and its soul is found in small towns like Humboldt, Saskatchewan. The team and the town are intricately linked, and community support for the team and hours at the arena are simply a way of life. The comfort and camaraderie that comes with time spent at the arena has been shattered and will be irreparably altered. On behalf of Dave, Ezra, and everyone here at TSN 1290, we want to extend our most sincere and heartfelt condolences to all the parents, the siblings, the extended families and friends who are grieving this unspeakable tragedy. May God bless you, may God comfort you, and may you be provided with shelter from the cover of God's wings.
And that'll do it here tonight. Winnipeg has won 8 straight at home, and they have one more game to go. Game 82 coming up on Saturday, and Winnipeg posts their 51st win of the year. They do it, essentially leading from wire to wire here tonight.
There's no easy way to make that transition, so we apologize because there just is no easy way to do it, but we will talk about hockey. Thoughts and prayers, of course, with the people of Humboldt, Saskatchewan. But we'll talk about the Winnipeg Jets because we'll find solace in the game of hockey and in our Winnipeg Jets. And on Thursday night, the Winnipeg Jets continued their impressive streak of tremendous hockey, defeating the Calgary Flames in a meaningless game. Ended up being a meaningless game as the Nashville Predators defeated the Washington Capitals in Washington on Thursday to clinch first overall in the Central Division. So midway through that Jets game, it became a meaningless game. But for the fans in attendance and the Winnipeg Jets players on the ice, certainly nice to continue their winning ways, doing so with that 2-1 victory over Calgary on Thursday night. Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Manuk, welcome to the program, guys. Nice to see you on this Saturday morning.
Yeah, what's up, boys? It's really unfortunate for the Jets because, you know, if Nashville doesn't pick up that win and Washington's able to beat them, you know, the Jets are not only playing for first in the division tonight, mm-hmm. they're playing for the President's Trophy.
Yeah.
So just an incredible season continues here for the Jets, up to 51 wins on the year, the best home record in the league. Connor Hellebuyck, Dave, has a chance to become the winningest American goalie ever in one season. I should say he has a little bit of a way to go before
overall,
but a
couple more games.
He can, you know, set the record for most wins by an American goaltender in a season. So, I mean, you know, I was on the road trip, got mm-hmm. to see a couple of the games in Montreal and Ottawa. I wasn't there in Toronto, unfortunately, and obviously not in Chicago, but you know, those games weren't Picasso's, as Claude Noel used to say, but, you know, we saw 20 combined goals. The Jets squeaked out 2-1 goal victories, and they put themselves in a situation where they could still catch Nashville, guys. And you remember a couple weeks back, Nashville was 7 points up on the Jets, and it looked like there was no chance that the Jets were going to have to catch Nashville and, you know, compete for the division and the President's Trophy. But it's really been an incredible finish to the season here, having won 10 of their last 11 games.
It's amazing, Dave, as we sit here with Game 82 on the horizon later on tonight, a 6 o'clock puck drop here on TSN 1290. It's amazing to think back to the first week of October when the Jets lost those two games to start the season, and the level of angst that was in existence in this city, because it certainly was a very high level, especially the manner in which they lost, being really dominated by the Leafs and dominated by the Calgary Flames. And then we sit here now tonight with this team as one of the premier teams in the entire NHL. Certainly you can make the argument, I mean, with a victory they can finish second overall in terms of points, depending on what happens with Tampa and with Boston, in the entire NHL. It's just amazing how quickly the season turned, and they talked about it earlier this week, that Nikolaj Ehlers natural hat trick. If you go back to that game, Thanksgiving Monday in Edmonton, the Jets take a 2-0 lead. The Oilers get two quick goals to come back 2-2. You're thinking another collapse for the Jets in that game, but Nikolaj Ehlers is able to, you know, take it upon himself, get the natural hat trick. The Jets win that game in Edmonton, and really since that point in time, the season has been on an upward trajectory, pretty much nonstop.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, this team has the talent, and we've seen it, and that's why you don't panic with one or two losses in October, because, of course, it's a long season. And again, it is rather remarkable, and it feels almost shocking to be at game 82. It feels like the season, you kind of hit that point where it's like, is the season ever going to get to the postseason?
Yeah.
But now it seems almost shocking that we're at the end of the regular season at this point. And you know what? I mean, the Jets have a tremendous amount of talent, and I think that their success is not shocking considering, you know, the level of players that they have on this squad. So, I think that's why, again, you don't get overly excited with one or two games early in the season, you know, whether it's a win or a loss. You just can't, you know, because it is such a long year and so many things can happen, of course. And it's with good reason there was some concern because, you know, everybody was anticipating this team to be, you know, lights out. And then, of course, you drop your first two and everybody's the sky is falling because people are so hell-bent on this team having success. So I think that, you know, them turning it around and ripping off 51 wins to this point, and potentially 52, is remarkable. But again, it's not shocking to me because of the high degree of talent that this team has.
You know, Dave, this time of year, it's really fun, and everybody's looking back on the season, reflecting and all of that. And, you know, Drew mentions that game in Edmonton. For me, the game that I look back upon, and really there isn't one or two games. I mean, you have to look at the season as a whole, but those back-to-back losses to Pittsburgh and Columbus back in October.
Yeah.
And then they defeat the Pittsburgh Penguins, if you remember, 7-1. Blake mm-hmm. Wheeler scores a hat trick in that game. And for me, you know, defeating the Stanley Cup champions in that manner,
sure,
in front of a national audience.
Well, they took, because those games in Pittsburgh and Columbus, they were both overtime losses.
That's correct.
So they were able to get the key points and said, we can play with the big boys.
Right. And, you know, if you lose that game, you know, that becomes maybe a longer losing streak. But for me, I look back on that game, and what was that, the eighth or ninth game of the year, whatever it was the first month of the season. I mean, we saw, the Jets blow out a lot of teams, especially at the Bell MTS place. And, you know, aside from the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Jets defeated every single team in the league this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this year, I've said this before on the show, it was a couple of weeks back, I believe. I mean, for me, this was the best regular season in Winnipeg Jets 1.0 or 2.0 history. I mean, you're talking about a team that can get to 52 wins with a win over the Blackhawks tonight. So, I mean, we haven't seen a Jets team this dominant in the regular season ever before in NHL history in this city.
Certainly in the NHL history, and our memories don't really go back far enough to talk about the WHA days, but certainly the NHL, this has been the best regular season, as we talked about on the program. A lot of talk this week about maybe Connor Hellebuck is the Jets team MVP. Is it possible that, you know, Hellebuck is the team MVP, but Blake Wheeler is the team MIP, the most important player on the team?
The MIP.
The MIP?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, for me, it's a really interesting discussion, Dave, because, I mean, Blake Wheeler, you know, he sets career highs in points, and he leads the NHL in assists. I still think he's leading the league in assists. If he isn't, he's second.
No, I think Giroux took the – because they gave, they gave Giroux a late – they at the NHL added an assist to Giroux, so he now took the lead at 68.
That's why you're here, Dave, to make me look good. So, I mean, he's second in the NHL in assists right now, whatever it is. I mean, you could make a strong argument Blake Wheeler is a Hart Trophy finalist. At the very least, he's got to be top five or top six. I mean, guys like Taylor Hall and Nathan MacKinnon and – Nikita Kucherov, Evgeny Malkin, they're going to have something to say about that. But, I mean, Connor Hellebuck, I mean, what else can you say? I mean, he's played 60-plus games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's over 40 wins. He has a really good chance to get to 43 wins tonight. I mean, he is so valuable to what this team has done this year. But for me, night in, night out, Blake Wheeler just is always out there creating offense. He's really putting the team on his back. So it's tough for me to not say that Blake Wheeler is the most valuable player on this team, but, I mean, if you want to call it most important player, Drew, I think you have a strong argument for Connor Hellebuck because he has been so good all year for this team.
That's a tough one. I mean, you look at both these players and each guy. I mean, the goal, Jets' goal differential this year is plus 56, I believe, right? Or plus 56.
Yeah.
Last year was minus 7. I mean, that's a pretty significant change for a team. And then that's probably a combination of the Jets' commitment to playing a little bit better of defense and, again, having the puck more because they're stronger offensively. But at the same time, that's a lot to do with what Connor Hellebuyck did over the summer and how valuable he has been to this team. Because remember, I mean, obviously everybody knows, I mean, he started off with a little bit of chip on his shoulder thinking they brought in this veteran and he thought he would be the guy. And he ended up, of course, taking the mantle and being the guy. So to me, what Connor Hellebuck's been able to do has been absolutely significant to the success of this team, says Captain Obvious. And I think that, you know, really it could go either way. I think I see the value and strong arguments for both. It's funny because I was looking up who I think would win who is the most three-star selections. And it should come as no surprise. Blake Wheeler edged out Connor Hellebuyck this year by 5 points. But it's heads and tails above everybody else. Blake Wheeler had 140 points from the three-star selection.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Hellebuyck had 135. The next closest player, I think, was either Patrick Laine or Mark Scheifele at about 60. So, I mean, those two guys consistently for all the home games that we've seen at Bellin
Sure,
plays,
the 40 of the 41, the 41 right. coming tonight.
Those guys have consistently been the winners.
And, Dave, I think you have to factor in here that in getting to 90 points, setting career highs for Blake Wheeler,
mm-hmm.
he did that having played center for, what, 4 or 5 weeks when Mark Scheifele was out of the lineup.
Sure.
So I don't think that can get lost here. I mean, Connor Hellebuyck should probably be a Vezina Trophy finalist. Pekka Rinne might win it. But Blake Wheeler, having played a different position for a big chunk of this season and still, you know, maintaining his career high pace, to me, is just incredible. It really is.
In terms of the blue line, Josh Morrissey, the best defenseman on the team throughout the regular season? Or, you know, could you make an argument for Dustin Byfuglien?
I think Buff has been great, but for me, I mean, Josh Morrissey on both ends of the puck, and we've seen a little bit of that offensive side of his game, but for me, he's been the most consistent defenseman all year long, and you forget how young he is, right? It's not like Josh Morrissey's 28 years old. I mean, this is only his second full year in the NHL, right? So,
mm-hmm.
For me, he's the Jets' best all-around defenseman, and, you know, Jacob Trouba has had the injury problem. So, I mean, if Jacob Trouba's healthy all year, maybe we're giving the slight edge to Trouba here as opposed to Morrissey. But for me, I mean, the sky is the limit for Morrissey, and he's just been so fun to watch. Like, you look at his development from the Manitoba Moose to now, and it's just really incredible. So I think he's the Jets' best all-around defenseman. But I think you have to also factor in, you know, as a whole, this team has really come together. And a guy like Ben Chiarot, for me, this has been his best NHL year. So they've benefited from having Dmitry Kulikov. Obviously, they don't have him in the lineup now. But for me, Ben Chiarot's taken the next step in his career. And Tucker Pullman's been a great depth defenseman when the Jets have needed him too. So Morrissey's the best defenseman for me on the Jets. But as a whole, I think that's what's more important, Drew, that the Jets as a group have taken that next step.
Yeah, I mean, I would concur with what I just said. I think that Josh Morrissey, to me, has been the best, most consistent defender the Jets have had, especially for the role he's been asked to take with the team, and especially also because Jacob Trouba has been hurt for quite a bit throughout the season. So I think Josh Morrissey, to me, has been the best defenseman. However, having said that, I think Dustin Byfuglien also deserves some credit for what he's been able to do, taking some of the risk out of his game and playing as well as he has.
82 regular season games will be completed as of around 9 o'clock tonight. That doesn't mean it's the end of the season, though. That means we're just gearing up for the playoffs. The Jets' first-round playoff opponent is going to be the Minnesota Wild. When we come back, we start our preview of the Jets-Wild playoff series. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
That was the first meeting of the season between the Jets and the Wild back on October 20th. A 4-3 Winnipeg Jets victory over the Wild. The Jets ended up taking 3 out of 4 contests against the Wild this season. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This is Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets Game Day on TSN 1290. This segment of the show brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the team at Linden Market Dental Center, official dentist of Illegal Curve Hockey. Don't be an Ezzy. Always wear a mouth guard and give yourself peace of mind protection, as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. To make an appointment to get your teeth to ting, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. We start our comprehensive preview of the Jets' wild first-round series, a first-round series a lot of people have been waiting for, as the Wild are our closest geographical rival to the Winnipeg Jets. We expect the series to get underway probably on Wednesday of next week. That's not yet confirmed. Probably won't be until the matchups are all set, which could, well, conceivably happen as late as Tuesday if that bizarre tie-breaking game has to take place. Talk about that a little bit later on in the program.
Are you ready for the whiteout, Drew?
Am I ready for the whiteout? Well, I mean, I plan to wear a suit and not going to be a white suit up in the press box, but other than that, yeah, sure. I mean, I have a white shirt that I could wear, you know, if push comes to shove, something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible to think that 5 days from now, you know, the Jets are going to host a first-round playoff series. You know, when you go back to last year and all the struggles the Jets had, it's really incredible.
Host it with incredible expectations on their shoulders as well. That's sort of the additional pressure. This is a team, of course, and a franchise that has never won a playoff game, as has been well documented.
Well, that's going to change this year.
I would agree with you. That's going to change this year as well. I cannot foresee a situation in which the Jets lose all four games to the Minnesota Wild. Start by talking about the forward groups of these two teams. We know that the Wild have a pretty deep forward group as well, much like the Winnipeg Jets. You know, how do you think the forward groups match up against each other? You know, the terms of goals for, the Jets finished second overall in the NHL with 269 goals for. Minnesota Wild weren't far behind, 25 goals behind, tied 11th with 244 goals for. This Wild team, though, much more of a quick strike team than a possession team. They were 30th in the entire NHL this season in terms of Corsi 4 at even strength in close games, only with a 47.04% Corsi 4 rating.
Yeah, boys, you have to give the big advantage here to the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, the Minnesota Wild have had a pretty consistent season, and Eric Staal's been such a great story. You know, 41 goals he's up to now. And, I mean, this team has no shortage of skill. Up the middle, very strong. Eric Staal, Mikko Koivu on the wings. You've got guys like Jason Zucker and Mikael Granlund, a healthy Zach Parise now. You know, when you're able to roll out right now on that third line, they've got Nino Niederreiter and Charlie Coyle on the wings. And, you know, this team is obviously going to miss Ryan Suter on the back end. And we're talking about the forwards right now.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is really what's going to make it really difficult for this Wild team to beat the Jets. But when you look at this forward group, I mean, they've got a lot of skill, but they're just not as fast as the Jets. When you talk about guys like Nikolai Ehlers and Kyle Connor and Matthew Perreault, I mean, the Jets have a lot more speed. You're right, though. I mean, this is a quick strike team, and they can put the puck in the net. But I think the matchups are really going to benefit the Jets. And it's not like the Dallas Stars where you have a one-line team, but you are most likely, I think, going to focus in on the line of Mikko Koivu, Zach Parise, and Mikael Granlund. And I think that line is going to be matched up against the line of Paul Stastny, Nikolai Ehlers, and Patrick Laine. And Eric Staal's line is a great line. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the Jets deploy the Adam Lowry line against that top line, because you've got the size of Eric Staal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to put up Adam Lowry up against a guy like Eric Staal. Jason Zucker is a really good player, and whether you have, you know, Mikael Granlund or Charlie Coyle on that line, but Mikael Granlund has been pretty entrenched on that second line. I know the lines have been a little bit in flux there.
Yeah. The last, here are the forward lines for the Wild. The last time they had a meaningful game, this is when they beat Edmonton earlier in the week, 3-0. They went Parise, Koivu, and Granlund. They went Zucker, Staal, and Niederreiter. They went Ennis, Cullen, and Charlie Coyle. They went Winnick, Joel Eriksson Ek, and Marcus Foligno. The extra forward is Jordan Greenway. He's a college free agent signing that has been in and out of the lineup as well, sort of over the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks or so.
Right, so Nino Niederreiter, instead of being on the third line, is on the top line, and that's a really good line. You got some speed and you got some size there with Eric Staal, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, really, the difference is when you get down to the third and fourth lines.
They don't have the depth like the Jets do, Dave, and that's where the Jets can take advantage and probably get some favorable matchups.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Dave was just going to mention, you know, Tyler Ennis comes over for Buffalo, and you know, he hasn't had the best season. He's a good player, but for the Jets, you're talking about, I mean, you're able to put out Brian Little, Matthew Perreault, and Jack Roslovic possibly on the third line, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the one thing we're seeing from a Jets team right now this year is that you've never seen before, really, is the fact that almost every line, in fact, even the fourth line can score. And so you're not just putting guys out there to hold water and just kind of allow the other guys to gain some rest. They can actually, like, put the puck in the back of the net, and they can be dangerous, and they can control play. And to me, that's the biggest difference with this Jets team is that, you know, we've seen big stretches against good teams where they've held that puck for 2-3 minutes, allowed them, you know, to get line changes in even and still maintain possession of the puck. So to me, that's the biggest difference with this Jets team. And I think you guys hit it on the head. They play a fast game, and I think with you combine the puck possession plus the speed, that's their advantage. Now, of course, the Wild advantage is that they have more veteran players, guys who are used to the playoff grind and having to take their game to that next level. But I mean, the fact of the matter is that all of these players, and I know that the playoffs are a different animal, and it is true, but the truth is that all these guys have played in some form of playoff game throughout their career. So they know that they need to ratchet it up a level. And I think they have enough veteran experience with guys like Paul Stastny and Dustin Byfuglien to know that, you know, if they're down a goal, they're not going to need to panic, that they don't need to score 2 goals in one shift. And I really think, like, that should be sufficient to allow this team to kind of maintain, keep pace with Minnesota in that regard.
I really believe that's the key for the Jets here and why they have the big advantage. I mentioned that earlier, and, you know, Dave just touches on it. But, you know, you have some speedy guys, Jason Zucker, Charlie Coyle. But when you're talking about, I mean, Zach Parise's not as fast as he used to be.
Oh, sure. Age and back problems usually diminish some speed.
Right. And, you know, you got guys, you know, on the fourth line, Daniel Winnick, Matt Cullen, good veteran players. But, yeah. I mean, I think that's where you're trying to exploit the Wild here. And, you know, when you're talking about, you know, the experience, I mean, you know, Dave nails it there. I mean, Eric Staal, we know what he did early on in his career with the Carolina Hurricanes. But, you know, players like Koivu and Parise and Granlund, I mean, they've been in the playoffs here year after year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets just don't have that luxury. But for me, that's almost overstated, I think, at times. I mean, the Jets do have players with playoff experience. You think of Paul Stastny.
Sure.
You think of Blake Wheeler. And, you know, it might be a little bit limited with his playoff experience. But Dustin Byfuglien has got a lot of playoff experience. But, you know, really it's going to come down to who the better team is during this seven-game series. And I think in all positions, I think the Jets have the advantage, especially when you're missing guys like Ryan Suter on the back end.
And we'll talk. Sorry, go ahead.
No, Dave. I was just going to say, and they also don't know the status of Jared Spurgeon. Yeah. He's a game. He didn't go with them to California.
Mm-hmm.
He should be back, Dave, early on in the series.
Yeah.
Michael Russo tweeted that out a couple days ago.
Yeah.
But they don't know if it's going to be game one or game
two. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So if he's not back for game one or game two, the series might be over by then.
and it's certainly unlikely that. It's certainly unlikely that he's going to be at full strength whenever he comes back. You know, Michael Russo in an article for TheAthletic.com actually illustrated how the Wild have been digging themselves holes when it comes to their first round series. In their last seven playoff series in the Parise-Suter era, the Wild have gone down 0-2 in five of those series. So this is a team, the Wild, that frequently lose their first two games. Sometimes they've been able to bounce back. A couple times they came back from being down 0-2. But more often than not, this is a team that goes down 0-2 and then, you know, meekly limps out of the playoffs, as we've seen over the years. So it'll be incumbent on the Jets to really take advantage of a weakened opponent right from the outset when the playoffs begin, probably Wednesday at Bell MTS Place.
It's going to be a big key, you know, for the Wild. We talked about that top line, Zucker, Staal, and if it's Nino Niederreiter on that first line. I mean, they've been depending on that line for a lot of offense. And, you know, Zach Parise missed a big chunk of the season here, and he's been good since he came back. I believe he was up to 15 goals, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, guys like Charlie Coyle I guess you'd throw Granlund in there. He's been pretty consistent. But I just don't think they have the depth scoring to compete with the Jets. That's just my opinion. I mean, we'll see what happens, but you look up and down this lineup, and the Jets are able to roll out four lines that can score, and I just don't think the Wild have that luxury.
You mentioned Jack Roslovic, Ezzie, in a previous comment. Is Roslovic in your lineup for game one, or are they going with, do you think that they go with Roslovic sort of as the 13th forward? They go with Kopp, Lowry, Tanev as the fourth line for the Jets, and Armia with Little and Perreault on the third line, or do you think Roslovic has done enough to warrant being one of the starting 12 forwards for the Jets for the first round of the playoffs?
Personally, I think he should be in the lineup. And I don't know how you're going to squeeze him in there, but you look what he did. I was at that game in Montreal, and you look what, you know, him and Connor did that game. Roslovic and Connor, you know, out there in overtime. And you would say maybe, you know, earlier in the season, you know, if these games mattered more, Dave, you know, maybe Jack Roslovic isn't on the ice. But the fact is he was. And, you know, he set up Kyle Connor on that beautiful goal. So with his skill set, I would have him in the game one opening roster. But we'll see.
Dave, what do you think about Jack Roslovic and his role?
I think he deserves to be in. I think he will be in, I don't know. I think that they'll probably go with the experienced guys over a younger player like Jack Roslovic would be my guess. I think that he likes probably the Tanev, Lowry, and Kopp line. And I think he'll probably keep Armia, because really, who comes out then? Really, on that third line, it's going to be Armia. So the question is, would you rather have Armia or Roslovic? I mean, again, I think that the coach will stick with Armia, but he could go with Roslovic. I don't think you would be suffering if you put Jack Roslovic in the lineup.
I think you're right, Dave. I think there's a good chance that Roslovic isn't in the starting lineup. But the question was, would I have him in the starting lineup?
That was my question, yes. You would have him in there.
But I don't think he will be.
I tend to agree with you. I don't think he will be either. And it's sort of an interesting, I've gone sort of both ways on it. And I think back to how Boston used Tyler Seguin a number of years ago. I think it was his rookie year when he wasn't in the lineup to start the playoffs. And then I believe...
Yeah, then he gets in there later, yeah.
Patrice Bergeron goes out with an injury. And so you're replacing skill with skill.
Yeah.
When you do that. And so I could see Roslovic being the next man up, especially if the Jets, I don't expect that they're going to run into goal scoring troubles, but if they need a boost of goal scoring at any point in the series, maybe that's when you make a swap like that and you put Roslovic in there and maybe you drop Armia down to the fourth line or he comes out of the lineup, whatever it might be. But I would expect that they're going to go with the 12 forwards that we've seen most often as of late, and Roslovic being the odd forward out, the 13th forward, and maybe the next man up ahead of Mathias and ahead of Dano and ahead of anybody else that are going to be part of the Black Aces for the Jets. Much more on the Jets Wild Series coming up, but when we return, we're going to be joined by Jeff Hamilton of the Winnipeg Free Press, talk more about the Jets. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
Saturday morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN 1290. This is Industrial Metals Game Day. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news and audio is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
From the Winnipeg Free Press, he's a good friend of ours. We're
Hammer.
Pleased to welcome to the program Jeff Hammer Hamilton. Jeff, how are you, brother?
Gentlemen, not too bad. How are we doing?
Doing very well, thank you. Game 82 tonight between the Jets and the Blackhawks. It seems like it was just yesterday. We were at the start of training camp at Bell MTS Iceplex, but here we are after a regular season that has been tremendously successful for this Winnipeg Jets. Hard to believe, Jeff, the way it started that we've ended up here with this team on the cusp battling for its 52nd regular season victory tonight.
Yeah, no kidding. And particularly when you think of those two early losses, obviously to Toronto and Calgary. But, you know, it seems so long ago that those games happened. But even if you want to go a bit further before training camp, I mean, the expectations were clear. You know, this was a playoffs or bust team. So I think a lot of people heading into this campaign figured, okay, well, the Winnipeg Jets better make some noise after a year where they played a lot of their youngsters, a lot of guys are getting some big minutes and some big experience. You know, this was supposed to lead to this season. I don't think anybody would have predicted a potential second overall in the NHL record, you know, and just points away from the President's Trophy, but here we are. I mean, look at the Winnipeg Jets heading to the playoffs. I mean, they're favored to go. If it wasn't for that playoff format, you know, they'd be arguably, you know, favored to go right to the conference final, but you know they'll have to play Nashville in between then, I imagine. But we'll start with the Minnesota Wild, I guess, in round one.
Jeff, in your opinion, does Jack Roslovic start the playoffs as the team's 13th forward?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's one of those things where I think a lot of people perhaps disagree with that, just because Jack Roslovic was able to kind of come up this year and establish himself on this roster. But it's just when you're putting those lineups together and you're looking for the full depth, if you look at that fourth line with Adam Lowry, Andrew Kopp, and Brandon Tanev, I just don't know if it makes sense to put Roslovic on that line, given what they're going to be responsible for this playoffs. And really, the other two lines, I mean, can you can't really complain with Kyle Connor being up there with Scheifele and Blake Wheeler, and you're certainly not going to move much on that Patrick Laine, Nick Ehlers, and Stastny line. So the only other option I can think of would be maybe taking a Joel Armia out and putting him on that line with Brian Little and Matthew Perreault. But, you know, at the same time, it's not a bad position to be in that 13th forward because, you know, I think it's pretty obvious that something's going to happen along the way. Someone's going to get injured, unfortunately, and then, you know, he's going to be the first guy up to replace that that down body or just to give rest, too.
Jeff, are fans making a mistake by looking past the Minnesota Wild in their playoff experience?
You know, it's interesting because I think, you know, myself included, the media, you know, we make a lot of noise about playoff experience and lack thereof with the Winnipeg Jets. And when you look at the Minnesota Wild, yeah, they think they've made the playoffs last six seasons or so, or six of the last seven. And that is important. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, if you've been there as a team, a lot of those players have been with Minnesota Wild for some time. So they've kind of come to learn their shortcomings in the playoffs, so, and lessons just along the way. But, you know, the Winnipeg Jets, I think what they lack in experience, you know, can be seen as a negative, but at the same time, I mean, it's kind of young and dumb and stupid. I'll steal those words from Jacob Trouba when he kind of first showed up on the scene here. And I think that can go a long way. A lot of young guys, they're not really worried about, you know, when you get older, the nerves, I mean, there's going to be nerves for everybody, but that nerves of kind of time is dwindling. I think this laissez-faire attitude that comes with being, you know, new to the league but having success will bode well for the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, as much as you can kind of pin Winnipeg versus Minnesota as far as playoff experience, just look at what the body of work this year has shown. I mean, they've won the season series 3-1. Yes, it's been some time since they played the Wild last time, but, you know, with all the other indicators, I just, you know, it's hard not to see the Jets be not just the favorite but the heavy favorite in this, considering the injuries on that side as well.
Jeff Hamilton, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're discussing the Winnipeg Jets, their regular season, and of course their first round playoff matchup against the Minnesota Wild. Jeff, you know, certainly the most wins in the regular season in his career, that's Jets head coach Paul Maurice, of course. In a year where he set the record for most losses, most regular season losses by an NHL head coach, has his job that he's done behind the bench for the Jets this year maybe changed the perception of him as an NHL head coach?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, you know, it's one of those things, yeah, you don't really want to be the guy tagged with the most NHL losses in coaching history, but at the same time, you need to coach that many games to get to those. So, again, I'm not really excusing the fact that Paul Maurice has that many losses, but, you know, I think one of the things when he came in here, there was this belief, particularly because of the lockout years ago, when he was able to kind of coach overseas, got to see a different perspective on how players dealt with the game and some of the obstacles from being, you know, in a place that didn't speak predominant English. I mean, just kind of got to be able to be able to kind of exchange with younger players and got a little bit of a different perspective on what kind of the new era of coaching is. So I got to give a lot of credit to Paul Maurice. I feel like he's evolved, and I think the big thing for him was he going to be able to reach some of these younger players? I mean, if you would have looked at last season as an indicator, I think he saw some major steps with some players. I thought Patrick Laine came in, obviously had a phenomenal rookie season. He saw some growth from other players, but this was really going to be the year for him to prove that he could take the next step with those guys, and I certainly think he's done that. And therefore, you know, maybe not change the perception, but maybe he's got a bit of a, I don't want to call it a new slate by any means, but an opportunity here to kind of carve out a different opinion for those people out there that will hang on to kind of his career stats. You got to remember, this guy was very young, one of the youngest coaches in NHL history when he was hired. So he's been around the game a long time, and it's those guys who are able to evolve with it that tend to succeed and last the longest.
Hammer, Jacob Trouba might not play tonight versus the Chicago Blackhawks, but we believe he's going to be healthy for Game 1 of the series between the Jets and the Wild. And I think most people will say that the key for the Jets, you know, going long during this year's playoffs is going to be goaltending and obviously scoring depth. But when you think about all of those teams that have won the Stanley Cups over the years, how important is Jacob Trouba going to be to this team? And is he the X factor for you as far as being that, you know, Jets top shutdown defenseman alongside Josh Morrissey?
Well, just look at Minnesota Wild. I don't think anyone's giving them any credit heading to this playoffs because of the loss of Ryan Suter. Now, Ryan Suter logged 28 minutes a game. Jacob Trouba doesn't quite log as much as that, but he does log big minutes against big opponents. So definitely a key figure into this playoffs, as well as pretty much all the defensemen. I mean, this is kind of one of those games this is one of those journeys the Jets are going to go through that, you know, for them hopefully lasts longer than the week, and therefore will need kind of their big minute eaters to eat up those minutes and guys to support them. So Jacob Trouba is certainly a guy who's battled some injuries here on the back end of the season. I think it's smart for him to sit out. I think you want him to be optimal. And in his case, because of his most recent one, I think it was only a couple of days ago, you want to give him the time to rest and feel good for the playoffs. And, you know, there's no movement for the Jets against the Blackhawks. But, you know, that said, come playoffs, I think when he's in, you're going to see him go, you know, be at 100%. And, guys will be playing through those injuries. You know, guys will be playing through the bang up and the bruises. How often do we see after every year where guys finish the year of a regular season and, you know, dealing with, as much as broken bones. So, you know, I think guys are just kind of hardwired to play through adversity. And but when you can give them that break whenever you can, like the Jets are doing with Jacob Trouba, I think it all bodes well.
You know, Jeff, one thing we haven't seen for this Jets team is a real hate on for another squad, and, you know, like a Chicago and St. Louis type of hatred. And you know, Paul Stastny spoke about it after last game, how you really need to play a series to kind of develop that animosity towards another team. Do you think, especially considering how the proximity between Minnesota and Winnipeg and the fan base's ability to travel, do you really think this is going to take that rivalry and kind of create what we in the media have been talking about for a number of years, but actually make it, turn it into fruition?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's funny because you're right. We manufacture these rivalries when, in my opinion, rivalries should be natural. I mean, yes, you have the geographical closeness between Team Winnipeg and Minnesota, but you don't have kind of that history. So obviously, a playoff series, however that may go, I mean, we'll only add to that fire. And the longer that series lasts, the more violent and the more hatred, if you will, is going to develop. So I certainly think it's interesting to see, you know, I read a stat earlier today, I forget, but it's been years and years and years since these two teams have met in the playoffs. And, so just the fact that it's already kind of there by all means, I think that this heading to this playoff series is just going to intensify that and make it a little more natural than what it's been in previous years.
Jeff, we'll let you go on this last question. There's been a lot of talk this week that maybe, you know, Connor Hellebuyck might be the most valuable player on the Winnipeg Jets, not Blake Wheeler. Where do you come down on that discussion? Is it possible that Hellebuyck is the most valuable, but Wheeler is the most important?
Yeah, it's one of those kind of I don't know where I fall on that. I think for me, Blake Wheeler has certainly been a guy. Both are, I think if you took either one of those guys out of the lineup right now, the Jets would be in a real bad situation. I think, you know, Blake Wheeler has been the leader of this team for years. He's been the driver of this team. He's the guy that sets the tempo on the ice and off the ice and all the other cliches you want to give the guy. And he's also produced. I mean, he's a 90-point season this year. That's a lot to ask out of a guy who's balancing not just, you know, himself on the ice and off the ice, but his teammates as well. But then you move over to Connor Hellebuyck, and, well, where would the Jets be without Connor Hellebuyck? I mean, this is a team that for years we've been talking about needing goalies and needing goalies to perform, and they were only an elite goalie away from being a dominant team, and I think you've seen that. Obviously, it's not just Connor Hellebuyck. He gets on a lot of nights, he gets a lot of help from the offensive weapons, but, you know, it's funny. I don't know where I find myself on that debate. I think I, like a lot of people, kind of jump back and forth, but I think what isn't up for debate is that without, you know, these two guys are certainly the most valuable players on this team, and without one of them, you know, I think the Jets would be in a much different spot than they are now.
Jeff Hamilton covers the Winnipeg Jets for the Winnipeg Free Press. He's a good friend of our program. Jeff, thanks for your time this morning. Appreciate it, buddy.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks a lot, and have a good one.
You too, Jeff. When we come back, we continue our preview of the Jets and Wild playoff series. Going to look at the defensive matchup up next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're part of Industrial Metals Game Day here on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
You know, they're a strong team. We always match up well with them.
It's always a hard-fought game, grinding right to the end. I'm just really excited to see our fans and the whiteout and see the real atmosphere in Winnipeg.
Summer, you're looking forward to going head-to-head with Devin as well?
Oh, absolutely. He's a great goalie, and you know it's going to be a great series, and it's going to be hard-fought, but I'm going to put our friendship aside for it.
That's Jets goaltender Connor Hellebuck talking about the upcoming playoff series against the Wild and, of course, his summer workout partner, Wild goaltender Devin Dubnyk. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290. This segment is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit RumorsComedyClub.com. Tonight at Rumors' final night in town, Shane Moss is performing. He's been playing to sold-out crowds all week long. Get your tickets now before they sell out. RumorsComedyClub.com. And while you're there, check out the calendar of all the fantastic upcoming comedians. Shifting our focus to the defense and the goaltenders for the Jets Wild first-round playoff series.
Let's start with the goalies.
The goalies over defense?
Yeah, we'll get to the goalies first.
Okay, Devin Dubnyk. You know, he's a late bloomer in his career after he was a bit of a journeyman.
Yep.
Finally landed in Minnesota a number of years ago, and his career certainly took off. Not the, you know, a solid year for Devin Dubnyk. You know, middle of the pack among NHL goaltenders. We've sort of been used to seeing him a little bit higher over the last number of years, but Connor Hellebuck, I would suggest, has been the better of the two goaltenders this season. How do you think that's going to play out? The inexperience but quality play of Connor Hellebuck versus the experience and average play, maybe average to solid play, of Devin Dubnyk.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that Devin Dubnyk drew as an average goalie. I mean, for me, he's...
No, I'm talking about this season, though.
Well, I mean, his numbers were not as good as last year. I mean, let's be honest. Last year was a career year.
Mm-hmm.
He had 40 wins last year, and his save percentage was well above .920 last year. I mean, Devin Dubnyk was a top five goalie in the league last year, but I would still say that Devin Dubnyk, at the very least, is a top 15, arguably a top 10 goalie in the league. And, you know, I give the advantage to the Jets with Connor Hellebuck because the way that Hellebuck has played here, especially down the stretch, has been truly incredible. But you look at Devin Dubnyk's numbers here in the last few games for the Wild. You know, the game against the Ducks, they lost, .930 save percentage. He shut out the Oilers, .914 save percentage, .935 save percentage, .966 save percentage. That's just the last five games, Drew. So, I mean, Devin Dubnyk, you would probably say, at times this year, has maybe not put up the numbers that he would like. But he's an excellent goaltender, a bona fide number one goaltender. So I don't think the Jets have a huge advantage here. And that's just me. And again, I'm saying that Connor Hellebuck is a better goaltender than Devin Dubnyk, but I would only give a slight advantage here. I think the biggest advantage the Jets have, we talked about it a couple segments ago, is with forward depth and D depth, especially with Ryan Suter out of the lineup. But if you think that Devin Dubnyk is going to let in five or six goals every game, I would give your head a shake.
Dave, does Devin Dubnyk have to be the best player for the Minnesota Wild for them to make this series, to either win this series or make this series, you know, a competitive one?
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, I think it's going to be a collective team effort. I think the defense is definitely going to have to step up, especially with the players that they're missing right now. But no, there's no question about it. Your goalie often has to be the guy who's the best player on the ice. And with the way Connor Hellebuck has played this season, and again, with the way the defense has played in front of him, it's allowed him to play a better game. I mean, we sometimes put too much emphasis on one and forget the other. And I think that it's a collective whole. I mean, that's why they call it a team game. It's not an individual game. And I really, you can't have one without the other. And I think the Jets have had a much better commitment to defense this season, and their players have been better this season. And again, they've played with the puck more this season. So I think it's all those things are tend to go in the favor of the goaltending. So I think they're all hand in hand, and I think that, to answer your question, Drew, I do think Devin Dubnyk is going to have to step up in the absence of some of the key players.
And the last time the Jets and the Wild played was back in January.
Yes, it was a Saturday night.
And Devin Dubnyk had the win, and I believe he stopped all but one shot in that game.
It was a 4-1 Minnesota Wild final. It was the last Jets game before they went on their week-long player break. The Jets were on. It was the second half of a back-to-back for the Jets. They played the night earlier in Chicago.
The point is, I mean, Dubnyk was great in that game. I'm just saying, I mean, again, you know, I just want to qualify this.
Okay.
I do think the Jets have the advantage. I think Hellebuck is a better goaltender, but Dubnyk has the experience and is still, in my opinion at least, and, you know, I could be wrong about this, but I still think he's one heck of a goaltender, and I don't think the Jets have as big of an advantage, Drew, I'll say this much, as some people might be making it out to be. The bigger advantage is with scoring and defensive depth.
Well, let's talk about the defensive depth. We know that the Minnesota Wild lost Ryan Suter to a fractured ankle about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. Is that sort of the deal breaker on this series, you know, pardon the pun, I guess, that Suter out of the Wild lineup on that defense becomes way more vulnerable, especially to a team like the Jets that can go 3 and 4 lines deep when it comes to offensive firepower?
No, I think this series, I was picking the Jets in the series regardless of Ryan Suter being out of the lineup. So for me, I mean, it's not necessarily a deal breaker. I think the Jets are a much better team than the Wild, even with Ryan Suter in the lineup. But when you take a defenseman out of the lineup who plays 26, 27, 28, 30 minutes a game, Drew, I mean, it's going to be hard, I think, for the Wild to win more than one game. And that's why I'm going with the Jets in 5 games here. Maybe if
you're getting ahead of yourself on the prediction there, sir.
I might be. But, you know, when you're talking about Jared Spurgeon, I mean, he's been out of the lineup here. Carson Soucy actually was sent back down to the Iowa Wild. Gustav Olofsson's been dealing with a concussion. So he's actually going to be back in the lineup for the Wild. But, you know, they've had Nick Seeler in the lineup. He's a homegrown boy from Eden Prairie, Minnesota. He's played, I believe, 21 games for the Wild this year. He's a big defensive defenseman. He's a tough defenseman. So when you look at the depth, though, I mean, Jonas Brodin and Matt Dumba have been a phenomenal pair for the Wild all year. Matt Dumba's having a career year. Jonas Brodin has been a staple of the Wild, you know, Drew, for a long time now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Nate Prosser, I think, is on a really good team. He's probably a seventh defenseman. He's been really solid for them, kind of as a third-pairing guy. But I just don't think they have the depth, even with Ryan Suter in the lineup. I think they're a little bit top-heavy. Because you think about Marco Scandella, I just don't think that the Wild have replaced Marco Scandella.
Buffalo in the offseason.
Right. So, I mean, it's going to be really hard, especially with Jared Spurgeon out of the lineup, if he is out of the lineup for even one or two games.
Yeah.
But the Jets just have such a bigger advantage. I think when you can put out defensemen, Dave, like Joe Morrow and Tucker Poolman as your seventh and eighth defenseman, the Wild just don't have that luxury.
Dave, you know, is that it? You look at this Wild defense, and let's for argument's sake say Spurgeon isn't in the lineup on game one. And so you're talking Brodin and Dumba. Those are the sort of most name recognition players on their back end. And after that, it's, you know, you got guys who are playing above the levels that they should be playing at, particularly come playoff time.
Yeah, and that's obviously where the Jets are going to be able to exploit, especially when you have the ability to set the matchups that you want. So Coach Maurice will be, with home ice advantage, be able to put out the lines that he wants against those defensive pairings. And I think that is going to be the advantage and probably the difference in the series, because that really will allow the Jets to kind of, you know, put the clamp down on Minnesota. And don't get me wrong, I think, you know, the coaching in Minnesota is pretty solid as well. And so you got a good chance that they're going to game plan for the Jets and plan, you know, the guy has a little experience beating the Jets.
Talk about coaching and special teams coming up next hour, that's for sure.
And Dave, to your point, I mean, I would expect Jonas Brodin and Matt Dumba to be paired up against Scheifele, Connor, and Wheeler. But then, I mean, who are you putting up against the Stastny line? Are you going to put up Gustav Olofsson and Nate Prosser, or, you know, maybe Ryan Murphy? I mean,
yeah, the Jets are licking their lips at any of those matchups.
Well, and I think that's what it comes down to, right? I think that's why it's asking a lot of your top pairing when you've lost all of these guys. And like you touched on a couple segments ago, Drew, the truth is that even when Spurgeon comes back, is he coming back at that level that you need him to be at? And it's going to be tough, especially if he doesn't get back for that first game, because then he's already kind of he's down, and everybody else has already started to ramp up their level, and he's already trying to he's trying to match it. So it'll be a little tough for him, and I think tough for the Wild overall to handle the depth that the Jets have, because again, we're not talking about one line that you have to shut down. There's three lines that can score for the Jets, and really even the fourth line, as we saw with Brandon Tanev's hat trick, can occasionally put in a goal or two.
Let's look at the Jets defense then. I mean, we know that Dmitry Kulikov won't be back for round one, certainly, of the playoffs. Toby Enstrom has been held out of the lineup for the last 2 weeks or so with the then expectation that he would return for the start of the playoffs. Do you still expect to see Enstrom in the lineup when the playoff series starts, either Wednesday or Thursday of next week? And then that sixth defenseman, is it Ben Chiarot over Joe Morrow, or can you make an argument for Joe Morrow to be in there over Ben Chiarot?
Yeah, it's got to be Ben Chiarot over Joe Morrow. I think, you know, we'd all agree the only reason Morrow's been in the lineup for this long is because the Jets have had injuries on the back end with, you know, Trouba and Enstrom and Kulikov. So, I mean, we know Morrissey and Trouba are going to be the top pair. And then, you know, in recent games, you've seen Ben Chiarot paired up with Dustin Byfuglien. But even without Dmitry Kulikov in the lineup, I mean, I think Joe Morrow has done an excellent job since he was acquired from the Montreal Canadiens. And Tucker Pullman, I think, has quietly, you know, played some nice hockey for the Jets. So, I mean, Ben Chiarot, I talked about it during that second segment, Drew. I think Ben Chiarot has kind of been maybe the most underrated defenseman for the Jets this year. And I'm not just talking about the offensive numbers. I think defensively, you know, we know he's a physical defenseman. He's been very solid playing, you know, 14, 15, 16 minutes a game. So I would expect it to be Ben Chiarot over Joe Morrow. But if Joe Morrow does end up playing at all for the Jets in the playoffs, I think he's been pretty solid. Sure, has he coughed up the puck a little bit? When I used to play hockey, I used to cough up the puck. I understand that.
And you used to cough up a hairball every now and then, too.
Absolutely. But, you know, I think the Jets' depth, I mean, especially when you compare it to 2015. And Adam Party did a great job, you know, when he went into the lineup.
Scored the opening goal in that playoff series.
You're talking about Joe Morrow. I mean, you're talking about a first-round draft pick, Tucker Pullman. I mean, he's had an excellent rookie season when he's been called upon for the Jets, and he's been good for the Moose as well in limited action. But I have no concern, even with Kulikov out of the lineup, as you said, Drew. Maybe Kulikov, you know, gets into the lineup if the series goes long in the first round, but he'll surely be back for the second round.
It'll be interesting to see how the Jets deploy their troops ahead of Game 1 of the playoff series, expected to be Wednesday night, not yet official, of course. As soon as it is, we will let you know here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and IllegalCurve.com. When we return, we're going to be joined by Colton Orr. We'll talk about the playoffs, talk about really everything going around in the world of hockey. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Hour number two of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. We're working to get Colton Orr on the line. He's going to join us this segment, ideally. Manitoba Moose, they were in action last night. Victors against the Bakersfield Condors, Dave.
Yep.
Coming back after they've been struggling as of late. They got a big 4-1 victory on home ice with the final home game to be played tomorrow afternoon, Fan Appreciation Day tomorrow afternoon against these same Condors again.
Yep, and then they close up the series with 3 on the road, 2 in Cleveland, and the final game of the year in Chicago, which, again, is going to be interesting because they're a fraction. They're 6.13 versus 6.11 for first place in the Central, so it is very close. And then you've got all these teams behind them, that, you know, Grand Rapids and the Rockford IceHogs. So.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Pleased to welcome back to the program a good friend of ours, a good Winnipeg boy. Colton Orr joins us on the show. Colton, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Hope everything's well.
Everything's going very well. Thank you for joining us on this Saturday morning. You know, Colton, we're getting geared up, obviously, for the playoffs here in Winnipeg, set to start first-round playoff matchup against the Minnesota Wild next week. And, you know, you look at the matchup, and, you know, from our perspective, the Jets have the advantage in most of the key areas against the Wild. The one area that the Wild have an advantage on is certainly on the experience side. Way more playoff experience when it comes to the Minnesota Wild as compared to the Winnipeg Jets. In your experience, you know, having played in the NHL, how much does playoff experience count for when the playoffs actually begin?
Well, first off, you hear it talked about a lot. Everyone's always bringing this topic up about experience, and it's not just in playoffs. You look at teams, they're always trying to bring in that experienced guy, those experienced leaders to kind of help your team out through the season. And then when you get in the playoffs, there's guys that will be brought in basically just upon their playoff performances and how they perform in the playoffs. That being said, how important I think it is, it also it only is important in certain situations when you seem to face some adversity or there's some, you know, you get down or you need a big goal. I think that's where it helps. But in a series like this where I think the Jets kind of are have the more of the edge against a team like Minnesota that I think it maybe won't come to play as much, just based on the fact that how big and fast and skilled this Jets team is. I don't think that it's going to be too much of a thing that's going to affect them not having that playoff experience going up against Minnie.
Colt, you played 477 NHL regular season games, but you also played 19 playoff games. For you as a player, how did the playoffs change from the regular season, besides the obvious the stakes are higher?
Well, the stakes are higher, but everything just tightens up so much. And you know, you look at the season, and you look at the Jets, they can score goals like crazy, but that's going to tighten up a bit. So now it's finding ways to score goals and these defensive matchups. And when teams are studying you, the Jets and Minnie have known that they're going to play each other for a while. So they're breaking down everything. So things aren't going to come as easy during the season when you're not playing the same team over and over in a best seven series. So things are going to tighten up a lot. Checking is going to be tighter. It's going to be a matchup that they're prepared for. So it's just going to be limiting your mistakes and making sure that the preparation is done properly for the start of these playoffs.
Colt, when you're a player, how hard is it to focus on the 82nd game of the year when it really has no meaning in the sense of you're already in the playoffs? Is it difficult to get ramped up for a game like this when you've already kind of moved ahead and are already thinking about the playoffs?
Yeah, it can be tough. You know your opponents. You know everything's set, and you want to avoid injury. You want to just get to the playoffs, get started, get to that meaningful game. You start the season. A game one and you're not trying to, but you're already kind of looking, okay, 81 more to go. And now you get to have this final last game. And for me, what I always thought is if you go in tentative and you try and say, okay, I just want to try and get through this. I want to just, tippy toe around. That's when bad things happen. So you have to find a way to play the game the way you would play hard, play smart. You don't have to take too many risks, but it can be a real mental thing to kind of get prepared for something like this. And they want to get this one over, get started, but you still have to play this last game. And you want to be ready to go into playoffs, playing the way, playing well. So if you can find a way, some motivation to, okay, let's go, let's play the right way. Let's do the right things here. And that'll lead into going into playoffs.
Colton Orr is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You know Colton, of course, throughout his NHL career. That NHL career ended with the Toronto Maple Leafs, having spent the last six or so years of your career with the Leafs. You're, of course, though, a Winnipeg boy. You were born here. A bit of a conundrum, maybe a bit of a push-pull between for you, Colton, about which of the two teams, the Leafs or the Jets, hold the mantle of the best Canadian hope this upcoming playoff series?
It is, and all I can sit here and hope for is a Toronto Jets final, and then kind of make that decision of who I want to choose. But I'm born and raised in Winnipeg, and I've been a Jets fan my whole life. And there's nothing more exciting than when the Jets get in the playoffs, and you see that whiteout and how excited the city gets and everything around it. And it's just one of a great time of year, and it's. Winnipeg just, they love their sports, they love their hockey, and so it's nice to see such a great team that they have and a thing that they can possibly do this year. And so I'm biased towards the Jets just because of watching them my whole life and being there for playoff games when I was young and being part of that whiteout. It's just it's exciting, and you're just hoping for the. If they continue to play it, they have all season and use that kind of, I always talk about the Jets and their size and how big they are. And that will go really well in the playoffs, and you can wear teams down using your size, and they're fast too. If you got a big team like that can skate. So it's exciting time of year, and looking forward to getting this started. I know everyone probably around the city is amped up and ready to go, and so it's get this game get on with, and then here we go. It's let's start the playoffs.
Now, Colton, sticking with the Leafs for you, how important was it for the Leafs to go through that first round matchup with the Capitals last year? All those overtime games, going to six games with the Capitals. How much of a factor do you think that's going to be for this Leafs team, who obviously has aspirations to go farther than just the first round?
Well, that's the thing is, you know, you talk about experience, but that goes with confidence. And the Leafs getting that confidence to show they could almost take out the Washington Capitals last year in the first playoffs is big for them because they're a better team now. They've improved. They've gotten that year under their belt now. And they're still very young and don't have that as much experience, but they've gone through it. They know what it takes once these playoffs come up. So they'll be building off of that. They'll be building off of the season that they had this year. And it's going to be something where they look to, like they brought in those older guys like Marlowe and stuff to help with that, to have that voice in the room that's been through it and knows what to expect. And so they got a good group of young guys, a group of older guys to kind of balance each other out. And I think that's very important for Toronto going into the playoffs. And it's still undecided who they're going to face. I think that's sometimes tough and you're waiting to see when you want to just start preparing, but it'll be decided soon.
Colton, from the media, we have a tendency to manufacture rivalries. And from a player's perspective, what can a playoff series against a team do to create a true rivalry?
I think it takes time. That's something that's just, it's built over the years of facing each other through the season and playoffs and everything and having these matchups that get heated and that you kind of build that. I believe that rivalries are tougher to be built now because of the way all these guys are friends now. They all train together. They all know each other more in the off season and that. So they're not as heated a rivalry as we used to see in some of these playoff series back in the 90s and 80s and the way there's almost hatred. Between some of these teams that you would see. So it's still there and it just takes time. It needs to kind of build on its own and build naturally.
Now, Colton, you're there in New York and we obviously know, unfortunately, the Rangers and the Islanders won't be making the playoffs this year, but the New Jersey Devils recently clinched a playoff spot. They're going to be going to the playoffs for the first time in, I think it's 6 years. And, you know, the New Jersey Devils obviously are led by Taylor Hall, who may very well be a Hart Trophy finalist. And we don't know who the Devils are going to play in the first round. But do you think the Devils are maybe being overlooked as a team that might actually upset a team in the first round?
Well, they have they looked a lot better earlier in the year. They came out and they surprised a lot of people early in the season. I don't think no one expected them to be do as well as they did this year. So they're definitely in that underdog role. But they went through a slump there for the kind of near the middle of the season, but they found their way out of it and they've got some good goaltending from Kincaid who stepped in and has been playing well for them. And of course you got Taylor Hall who's having a great year and leading that team. And I think it's going to be tough for them to maybe roll into the playoffs and upset them. I don't think they've been playing well enough to be able to do that. I know we don't know who they're playing yet. But it is that next step. And I'm not sure if they'll be able to make that leap going into the playoffs.
Colton, we'll let you go on this last question. The hockey world is stunned with the tragedy that occurred last night in Humboldt, Saskatchewan, with the Humboldt Broncos and losing 14 of their players and their coaches in that tragic bus crash. You know, you played in the WHL, you played in junior hockey, and you took many of those similar bus trips, you know, in rural Saskatchewan and rural Manitoba. You played for the Swift Current Broncos, another team that in the 80s suffered a tragedy similar to what happened last night in Humboldt. Just, you know, what's it like being on the road? Obviously, you know, you weren't involved in anything this tragic, but what's it like being on the road and riding the bus through those small towns in the prairie winters and, you know, just when an incident like this seems so unbelievable, yet it happened again?
Oh yeah, it's tough to even put anything in words, and I just my thoughts go out to the families and the Humboldt Broncos organization. Everyone has been affected by this. It's just it's such a sad thing that's happened to this team and these young men riding that bus. And it's like I said, I played my career in Regina and I played in Swift Current and when you're on the bus, everyone's been on the bus. Everyone's been on a bus at some point in their life and ridden through. It's tough for me to even kind of get this put together because it's, you just feel for the families and I can't even begin to think of what they're going through. So, I just hope everyone, you know, everyone's like here, you see in the hockey world, everyone's banding together and they're getting that support. And everyone's kind of, you know, leaning out and helping each other. And I think that's most important right now is just for everyone to kind of get together and help in any way you can to, kind of support these families in any way. Community of Humboldt. I think that's what everyone can do right now.
Well said, Colton. Colton Orr played 477 games in the NHL. He's a good friend of the program. Colton, thank you for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Take care, and we'll talk soon.
We'll talk soon.
Thanks
a lot,
Colton.
When we come back, more on the Jets and Wild playoff series. We'll talk about special teams. We'll talk about coaching. We'll give our series predictions. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Yeah, we look challenged in the first, especially. You have your whole group kind of be behind the game, and we weren't particularly strong tonight in any department of the game. Power play was good for the 4 minutes or so that we had, but other than that, we weren't a good hockey team tonight.
That's Jets coach Paul Maurice from the fourth and final regular season meeting between the Jets and the Wild. That was the only game that the Wild won, a 4-1 victory back on January the 13th. Not a terrific performance by the Winnipeg Jets.
I remember that game being very, very boring.
Yes, it was. Like I said, it was a Saturday night. The Jets had played the night earlier in Chicago, if I recall correctly.
Where were you watching the game?
I'm going to guess at home, but I can't tell you for sure. But it certainly was not an exciting game. The Jets definitely were outplayed by the Minnesota Wild, and they were right on their way to the player break. So that's was all the baggage that was going on surrounding that contest. They may not have played Chicago. They might have played St. Louis now that I think about it. I don't really remember. Not important, but it was a 4-1 Wild defeat of the Winnipeg Jets back in January. That was the last time these two teams played. They're going to do battle in the first round of the NHL playoffs coming up next week. Special teams, coaching, and a series prediction this segment. We'll get to the prediction, of course, at the end of the series. You look at the special teams, and we know just how good the Jets special teams has been this year. Power play, fifth overall in the NHL, 23.3%. Penalty kill, seventh overall, 81.7%. The Wild special teams, a little more average. Their power play has been tied for 17th at 20.5%, and their penalty kill 13th at 81.1%. The caveat surrounding everything to do with the Minnesota Wild, though, is Ryan Suter is such a key component of both the power play and the penalty kill. With him out of the lineup, it's really hard to tell what those special teams are going to look like.
Right. We talked about this earlier today. I mean, Ryan Suter is, in my opinion, still a top 10 defenseman in the league, guys. And, you know, Suter's getting a little bit older, so maybe he's not as quick as he once was, but he knows how to move efficiently. So you're right, Drew. They're going to miss him on the power play and the penalty kill, and there's no doubt that the Jets have the better power play. I mean, clearly, you know, fifth best power play. At one point, it was, I believe, second in the league, and the penalty kill has been probably, for me, the bigger surprise for the Jets this year, seventh best in the league. The penalty kill has been a problem for the Jets since they came over from Atlanta. And I think, you know, players like Brandon Tanev and Joel Armia have really excelled there. So, I mean, the Jets are going to get the edge here when it comes to the special teams. But, guys, the Wild still have players that can hurt you on the power play. I mean, you're going to put out, you know, Zach Parise, Mikko Koivu, Mikael Granlund, most likely out there on the first power play. And you can put out, you know, Eric Staal's line on the second power play. And, you know, for me, I've talked about this a lot, Dave. Matt Dumba, you know, is a guy that's, you know, been a healthy scratch for Bruce Boudreau. But, you know, he's having a career year this year, and it's not just offensively. I mean, for me, he's really become that all-around defenseman that they envisioned when they took him in the first round back in, what was it, 2012, I believe, the same year as Jacob Trouba, if I'm not mistaken. So for me, I mean, Dumba has been the most improved defenseman for the Wild, and, you know, we talked about it. I mean, they still have some talent here. So, yeah, the Jets have the advantage with the power play and the special teams. you're able to put out, you know, the Patrick Lyonnais, the Nikolai Ehlers, the Kyle Connors, the Scheiflies out there on your power play. But I don't think we should underestimate the Wild at all. And in the playoffs, the special teams, I don't think, are as big of a factor. And, you know, you look at, you know, the season as a whole, and, you know, especially, you know, early on in the season, the Jets were struggling, and it was the power play that I think, especially at home, you know, was really an advantage for them. But oftentimes in the playoffs, when you see less penalties called, Dave, you know, it doesn't matter. But it always helps when you're able to kill off, you know, a penalty or two in a crucial situation. So, you know, when I look at the special teams, yeah, you're going to give the advantage to the Jets, but, you know, I don't think that you can necessarily say it's so big of an advantage that that's going to be a key factor in the series.
You would say the series is going to be won or lost at even strength. It's going to be won or lost at 5-on-5.
And the Jets
are
a better 5-on-5 team.
Right.
I mean, the stats, the advanced stats, the team Corsi, I mean, it proves that out. The Jets are a quicker team. They're a better possession team. And for me, that's really going to be more of a determining factor. But, I mean, hey, if the Jets' power play is going and the Wild's power play is not going, I mean, that's just another reason why I think the Jets are going to win this series. In, I think, 5 games.
Yeah, I'm no analytics expert, but I'd be curious to hear from one of them, and they certainly do some great work, about why the Wild have been so successful this season, despite having a Corsi that is 30th overall in the NHL. And I know there's not a direct comparable, and it's not, a good Corsi means you're going to be a good hockey team necessarily, and a bad Corsi means you're going to be a bad hockey team. But it is a little bit of an outlier that they'd be so bad in Corsi, and yet, you know, third overall, third in the Central Division, and still a pretty good hockey team as we enter this playoff series, Dave.
No, there's no question about it. I mean, the fact is, and I think that's a testament to their depth. I also think, like, Eric Staal has taken, like, you know, I mean, what a season he's had for the Minnesota Wild, and you know, we tend to forget about Mikko Koivu and how good he is for this team. So, I mean, they do have the depth up the middle, and those are some key components, I think, for Minnesota that they're going to have to draw upon. And the truth is, they're going to have to limit their mistakes. I mean, they know that they can't trade chances with the Jets. Bruce Boudreau has talked about that and has essentially said, like, this is not a team that you're going to want to go, you know, punch for punch with, because you're going to get punched out. And the reality is that Minnesota, if they can minimize the Jets' opportunities, if they can stay out of the penalty box, because as you guys just touched on, that'll be a critical error if they're in the penalty box too much with the Jets' power play, and really just kind of make it kind of that boring game that we saw in January, then that's what Minnesota is going to try and do to make this a series. Now, whether they're able to impose that on the Jets is, of course, another question, but I think that is going to be the game plan from Bruce Boudreau, who's shown that he's a good enough coach that he can, you know, game plan these things.
And Dave, you just nailed it. I mean, the Wild are going to have matchup issues with the Jets as it is. If you start to get in penalty trouble and you're facing the fifth best power play in the league, and you know Patrick Laine is going to be set up in his office waiting for Blake Wheeler or Mark Scheifele to get him that puck, or Dustin Byfuglien. So if you get into penalty trouble, you're going to just make it even harder to make this a series.
What about the coaching matchup in this one? We know that Bruce Boudreau has been a tremendously successful regular season head coach. Less success in the playoffs, but, I mean, he's made the playoffs 10 out of his 11 seasons as an NHL head coach. 42 wins, 43 losses in 85 games coached in the playoffs. Lost in the first round last season in 5 games, despite finishing the season higher than the St. Louis Blues, their opponent last year. Paul Maurice, on the flip side, you know, we mentioned it earlier in the show, set the career record for most regular season losses by an NHL head coach this year. His greatest coaching performance this season, I would suggest, certainly in the regular season. He had the playoff success in taking the Hurricanes to the Stanley Cup final, but he's only made the playoffs 6 out of his 20 seasons as an NHL head coach. How do you see this coaching matchup take place between Maurice and Boudreau in this first round series?
Yeah, I would say the coaching matchup is probably a wash. I mean, you just mentioned it. Bruce Boudreau and Paul Maurice have tons of regular season and playoff experience, and it's unfortunate, I believe, for Boudreau, because, you know, the Wild have been, as we talked about, they've been a pretty consistent team. They've been a playoff team all year long, but they're just a step below, I think we'd all agree, when you compare them to the Jets or the Predators or some of the other top teams in the league, especially in the Western Conference. I believe the Wild are a significant step below the Jets and the Preds, and it's unfortunate because, you know, you draw the Jets, you know, one of the best power plays, one of the best offenses in the entire league, and you're without Ryan Suter, and you might be without Jared Spurgeon for a couple games. You know, he might be back, we'll see, but I don't think you would give Maurice or Boudreau an advantage over the other. I mean, a big criticism, as you mentioned, for Boudreau has been that hasn't been able to go all the way and win the Stanley Cup, and they were out in the first round last year as well, but Bruce Boudreau is a savvy veteran, and I think he's always done a great job of line matching, and I think his bigger criticism when he was head coach of the Anaheim Ducks is that he relied maybe a little bit too much on his top two lines. And mm-hmm. you look at the Minnesota Wild, it's kind of the same thing, right? Yeah. He puts that Koivu line out there a lot. He puts the Stahl line out there. And it was Getzlaff and Kessler when he was the head coach of the Anaheim Ducks, right? So I probably wouldn't give either coach an advantage. And, you know, for Paul Maurice, I mean, I think you could say the same thing. I mean, Paul Maurice's first season with the Winnipeg Jets, obviously first full season with the Jets,
yeah.
they go to the playoffs, but they get swept. So he's trying to prove as well that he can get this team to the next level. So I think there are a lot of similarities between these two coaches, and neither of them have gone all the way and won a Stanley Cup. You mentioned Maurice back in 2002 got to the final, but they didn't win that year. So two coaches that have been in this position many times before.
Predictions, Ezzy, you earlier in the hour said that you had the Jets winning in five games.
Yeah, I almost want to say a Jets sweep, but I'll go Jets in five. I just think it's going to be too hard for the Wild with all of the scoring depth the Jets have, and you know, no Ryan Suter, their stud defenseman in the lineup. So yeah, I'm going to go Jets in five.
David?
I would suggest that if the Minnesota Wild can win the first game, then they'll make potentially a series out of it, but otherwise I still suspect they won't, and I think that it's going to be the Jets in five.
A lot of confidence among this group. I'm going to echo what you guys say. I just think that the loss of Ryan Suter and a less than 100% Jared Spurgeon is going to be too much for the Wild to overcome. I think the Jets are able to handle the Wild relatively easy, probably in five games as well.
Yeah, and we have no idea. I think, you know, the only certainty about the first round of the playoffs is that there are going to be upsets. I just don't see it happening with the Wild over the Jets.
When we come back, we're going to be joined by Minnesota Wild analyst Mike Greenlay. More on the Jets and the Wild coming up next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show as part of Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets Game Day on TSN Radio 1290.